Well, what in the world? What in the world does Hosanna mean? Do you guys know what Hosanna means? What in the world? What does Hosanna mean?
Holy.
It means holy. What are some other meanings of Hosanna? What does Hosanna mean? What do you think?
Save us.
Save us. Yes, the word Hosanna means save us. You know the story of Jesus Christ's triumphal entry when he came into the city of Jerusalem is found in the Bible in Matthew 21, 8 through 11. And in this short story, we hear about Jesus Christ coming through a big gate. In fact, I've got a picture of that gate that's going to be right up here. It's called the Lion's Gate. Don't mind the parked cars. This is a modern picture of the Lion's Gate. Jesus Christ walked right through this gate into the city of Jerusalem. And we call this the triumphal entry. And the people, out of respect, and the children that were there with their moms and dads, threw their coats down on the ground so that they would show respect to Jesus Christ because they were recognizing him as something very special. And the people that didn't have coats to throw down, they went to the palm trees that were nearby and they would tear off or cut off palm branches and they would take those palm branches and they would throw them down in front of Jesus Christ. And they would recognize that he was very important, that he was very special. And the people cried out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Casey, just like you said, they were crying out to Jesus Christ, "Hosanna," which means save us. The people were crying out to Jesus to save them. But why would they do that? Why were the people crying out to Jesus to save them? Do you guys have any idea? What do you think, Cassidy? What do you think?
Because they wanted to go to heaven.
Because they wanted to go to heaven. Yes, you know, the Jews were God's chosen people. Those were the people that were throwing down the palm branches and throwing down their coats. They were God's chosen people, but they were living under the authority of Rome, the government, and they oftentimes had no hope. They oftentimes were being punished by the Romans for no reason. In fact, when they cried out, "Hosanna," they were directly quoting a verse that all the Jews would have known from Psalm 118, verse 26. And it's a verse which refers to a Messiah that is going to be promised way, way in the future. Psalms was written a long time ago, and it was a promise to the Jews that someday, even though you're going to face hopeless situations, someday, even though life is going to get tough and it's going to be difficult, and even though sometimes you look at your life and you feel like there is no hope, someday God is going to send a Messiah. And when that Messiah comes, the people will stand in the streets and they will throw down their palm branches and they will cry out to this Messiah, "Hosanna, save us." See, the people saw Jesus as the person who could come into their lives and save them from their hopelessness. The people believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the only hope that they had for the future. So they cried out to him, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Now, this morning when you guys came up here and you were singing Hosanna and glory to God in the highest, you know that's like that story out of the book of Matthew. The children went into the temple. They went into the place where they worshiped God. They went into the sanctuary. And they were crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to Jesus Christ, Hosanna in the highest." They were recognizing that Jesus was very important. But why do you think it was special? Why do you think it was significant that there were children that were praising Jesus in the temple? Why was it important that there were children praising Jesus in the temple? Yeah.
Because they loved him.
Because they loved him. All right, so they were showing that they loved God. Why else? Why else do you think it was important?
Because Jesus was more important than following the rules.
Oh, okay. So there were rules that were in the temple. Well, take a look at this. This is a picture of the temple. This was the temple. This is a reconstruction, actually, of the temple. And this is how big it was. Imagine that gate, which leads up to a road, which takes you up to the temple. And if you look at the temple, you've got an inner courtyard that exists right in the center. And on this side, you've got the court of women. That was the only place that the women were allowed to go. And then over on this side, you've got the court of Gentiles, which is the only place that the non-Jewish people were allowed to go. And in the center, there was the approach to the inner sanctum of the temple and eventually to the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest was allowed to go. And Jesus Christ came in all of his procession with all those people that had greeted him at the gate, and he walked in to the front. And who streamed in next to him? Who came into the temple area that were never allowed to be there unless their parents were with them? The children. The children came in next to Jesus Christ, and they were crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Well, the temple authorities, the religious leaders, saw this and they flipped out. They're like, "What is going on? There's kids. There's kids in the temple. Kids aren't supposed to be in the temple. People have got places and the kids are not in their place right now." And so they turned to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, why are you allowing these children to say Hosanna to you?" And Jesus' response is profound. He says this, and again, this is a direct quote from Psalm 8. Jesus was speaking the very words that the religious leaders would understand. He was talking in their language, and he said, "Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself." Have you ever heard that phrase, those of you that are adults? Out of the mouths of babes? That's where it comes from, is Psalm chapter 8, right around verses 2 and 3. That out of the mouths of children, there will be praise. And it will confound wisdom. It will confound wise. It will confound adults. But out of the mouths of children, God has prepared for himself worship. And even if the wisdom of the world will not praise God, God will use the things that are simple, that are pure, and that are innocent to praise his name. Can you imagine that? I mean, think about that. If you guys were there, if you kids were there on that day, and you were praising God, and somebody told you, "Stop doing that," and you realized, "The adults don't get it. Only us kids get it." Would you want to be an adult that missed it? No. Would you want to be an adult that missed it? No. Would you want to be an adult that misses it? The story is profound, even for us today. Well, let me ask you again. The temple leaders got upset because the kids were in the temple and they weren't supposed to be. They were only supposed to be there with their parents. And even then, they were supposed to keep totally quiet. Why did the temple leaders get so upset about what the kids were saying? Can you kind of break that down? Why do you think they got so mad?
Kids were breaking the rules.
Yeah, the kids were breaking the rules like we were talking about before. What else? What are some other reasons? What do you think?
They weren't old enough.
They weren't old enough to be in there? All right. Was there anything else? Was there any other special reason? Raquel, what do you think?
Because the term Hosanna was only supposed to be used in relationship with God.
Wow. That's amazing. Did you hear that? It's our young theologian right up here. The term Hosanna was only supposed to be used in relation to someone that was the Messiah. Why? Because it had already been written. It was already there in the Bible. It already said that when the Messiah came, that the people would line the streets and they would cry out, "Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David." They were recognizing Jesus Christ as being that Messiah. The religious leaders wanted the kids to quiet down, not just because of their age, not just because they were doing something they weren't supposed to, but because what they were saying was offensive. What they were saying was something they didn't believe. So the religious leaders told Jesus, "Could you get those kids to shut up? Could you just tell them, hey, kids, shut your mouths?" And what does Jesus say? "No. No, I'm not going to tell them to shut up. The kids are right. What's coming out of their mouths is right." Just like when you guys stood up here this morning and you sang Hosanna, what you sang about was true. What you sang about was right. Jesus loves to hear the voices of his children in the temple. Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise coming from the mouths of his children in the sanctuary. See, what Jesus was beginning on that day, when he came into the city, when he went into the temple, was a recognition that he was the king. He was being inaugurated. He was being brought in as the king. And what he was beginning was the most important week in all of human history. What begins with a celebration with palm branches and coats and honor, what was triumphant in heading towards the temple, is about to end on Good Friday in a crucifixion. What we have is the height of people recognizing Jesus Christ as the king, and the depths of people trying to prevent Jesus Christ from being the king. But the story doesn't end on Friday. The story actually gets some speed by the time we get to Sunday. Because next Sunday, being kind of alluded to by Palm Sunday and looking forward to next Sunday, is going to be Easter Sunday. And Easter Sunday is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This whole week begs the question, though, as we begin, have you cried out, Hosanna to God? This morning, you're going to hear stories. You're going to witness baptisms. You're going to hear about a Jesus Christ that is not dead and gone and some figurehead in history. You're going to hear about a Jesus Christ that is alive and he is well. And he is in our midst right here in the family that is Long Beach Alliance Church. And I hope this morning inspires you, like the kids that are a part of our church have, to trust and worship God, no matter who is looking. See, adults are worried, aren't they? They're worried about who's watching them when they're doing stuff. You guys, clearly not worried about who is watching you when you are doing stuff. And God calls on us to remember that we worship to an audience of one. This morning, as we begin our time together, as we begin to focus on what Palm Sunday is all about, let's see it through the eyes of these children. Let's sing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest to Jesus Christ. Let's make Him the object of our worship this morning. And let's hear about the stories of what He has been doing in the lives of our church.
Well, I am pretty excited because this morning we are going to experience 17 baptisms, which is just awesome. This morning represents something significant for those of you that are maybe family and friends and don't often get a chance to be a part of the family that is Long Beach Alliance. We've been talking a little bit about following the Lord and His example. And Jesus Christ, by both His own example and also by His command, asked us to be baptized. He called on us to be baptized so that we would stand publicly in front of family and friends and be able to stand up and say, my life belongs to Jesus Christ. And you and I and everyone else now knows it. And so I'm going to stand true to the call of Jesus Christ on my life. And I'm going to do that by being baptized. This is what Jesus Christ called on us to do, was to publicly make a confession of our faith in Him for eternal life. And so this morning, you are not just looking at 17 people who are following in some sort of religious ritual that they have earned. You are looking at 17 people who have responded to the love of Jesus Christ in their lives. And they are being faithful and true to what Jesus Christ called on them to do. And in being baptized, they are kind of modeling or mimicking the life of Jesus Christ, where He went from life to death and then came out again to a resurrection that is forever. And so as you experience this, I want you to see not a religious ceremony, but that Jesus Christ is alive and He is changing lives right here at Long Beach Alliance Church, even to this day. And He can change your life too. That is the great message of baptism that never, ever quits. So we're going to start these baptisms off. Come on in. Go ahead and tell everybody who you are.
I'm Jenny Adams.
And Jenny, tell us why you're here to be baptized this morning.
Well, to me, this is a rededication, and by participating in this water baptism in front of witnesses will help me be accountable in my Christian lifestyle.
Fantastic. Jenny, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of this confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, hello. Go ahead and tell everybody who you are.
My name is Robbie Barbieri.
And again, tell us why you're here this morning, Robbie.
I'm a little nervous. So, I actually was born and raised in a Christian home with loving parents that shared Jesus with me every day if they could, and especially my mom. So I took that for granted a lot as a kid and as a young adult. And I went, to this church and went to all the camps and went to the youth groups and heard the word of Jesus every day, at those things, and never really, it never sunk in. I felt God talking to me, but I never acted and I never responded. And I feel like I was cheated in a sense on that. So, thankfully, on April 19th, 1995, the day of the Oklahoma bombing, I was sitting watching the news with my little 9-year-old laying next to me, and I watched that play out over and over, all night, and I thought, life is so short, and that could be me, and if that is me, and something like that happens to me, where am I going, And with the life that I was leading at that time, it wasn't looking good. So I cried out to God, and I said, just save me from this world, save me from myself. And help me be a good mom, help me be a good sister, a good daughter, a good friend, and prepare me to be a good wife. And he's done that, and I think he's done a work in my life, and it's taken me 12 years to get here for all kinds of silly reasons. But I thank God that he has saved me. So.
Amen. Robin, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of that confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tell everybody who you are.
Sarah Irene Vans in here.
All right, Sarah. And Sarah, tell me why you want to be baptized this morning.
I want to show these people that I am a follower of Jesus.
That's fantastic. Sarah, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Sarah, because of this confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your name?
Wyatt Masterson.
All right, this is Wyatt. And Wyatt, tell me why you want to be baptized this morning.
Last Easter Sunday, I accepted Jesus into my heart with Miss Lorraine, and now I'd like to do it publicly.
Fantastic. Isn't that great? Wyatt, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus.
Because of this confession of faith, Wyatt, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and tell everybody your name.
I'm Carrie Shisco.
And Carrie, tell me why you're here this morning.
Well, I don't want to talk too much. I kind of had something in mind. But I was thinking about, it just occurred to me a couple days ago, that the first Palm Sunday I spent in the church was 2 years ago. And I don't think I even had heard of Palm Sunday before or anything, but I was traveling and I had been studying abroad and having a really hard time, just like isolating myself and being unhealthy and stuff. And so I took spring break, and I went to Ireland for a pretty long time, and just kind of determined to change something and make it better, make friends, do something positive. And it's weird, I didn't expect it, but I found myself every single day walking all around whatever town I was in, even if I'd been there for 2 weeks already or something, trying to find a church to go into or stand outside of or something. And sometimes I'd attend Mass, sometimes I just, like, lie outside. But I didn't really understand what was going on. But it was just a really powerful group of experiences over there. And I came back, and I wound up in Long Beach, and I didn't really think about it much. And I still haven't thought about it until like 3 days ago that that was what was going on. But I got interested in reading the Bible and stuff. And one day I was reading this book, and it said something about foreign missions in it. And I thought, oh, that's it. I'm supposed to be a missionary. And like, I'm going to go share Jesus with people in other countries. And that's like, it makes total sense. That's what I'm supposed to do. And then I stopped and I thought, okay, wait a second, I'm not even a Christian. That doesn't make any sense at all. And, but somehow it was like, that's the answer. And yet, I don't want to, you know, but anyway, somehow that made sense to me. And, but then like 3 weeks later, out of the blue, I run into my cousin Kate. Whom I haven't known since I was like 7. And we were never friends or anything. Because we didn't grow up knowing each other. And she was a Christian. And she wound up inviting me to church. And I'd been waiting for her to ask me to come. And I was like, yeah, heck yeah, I'm coming. And she brought me one Sunday last January. And the next Monday I went to Bible study. And the next week I went to something else. And God was faithful, and I never really questioned it, surprisingly. So by the next Palm Sunday, Easter, I had accepted Christ, and it's kind of weird. So, and suddenly the Bible made sense.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so that's it now.
Carrie, who, you made it crystal clear, but who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of this confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and tell everybody your name.
Jill Shaw.
And Jill, tell us why you're here this morning.
I've been a Christian almost all my life, but I've never publicly confessed my faith to my friends and my family.
All right. Jill, Who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of this confession of faith, Jill, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tell the youth ministry is about to enter the tank.
All right. Well, why don't you tell everybody who we are?
Tyler Ann Pringle.
Good, Tyler Ann. And why don't you share with everybody just a little bit about your testimony and why you wanted to be baptized today?
Okay. When I was little, we used to go to Bethany Church, but we didn't really feel apart of that, and due to my parents getting divorced, my mom going back to work, we eventually stopped going. 3 years ago on Easter, we came here for the Easter service, and as soon as we walked in, everyone was so friendly and nice and welcoming, and we fell in love with Pastor Chris as soon as he started the service that we kept coming back every Sunday. And I met Dia Slade, who got me into the youth group, and my brother got into the youth groups. And we started studying and praying more as a family. And my mom's faith was restored, and me and my brother developed a relationship with God. I want to be baptized because God commands us to. I think it's a commitment to God. And I want to show my church that I'm ready to be part of the body of Christ here at Long Beach Alliance.
That's fantastic. Tyler Ann, let me ask you, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come on down. All right. Why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
I'm Andrew David Pringle.
All right. Andrew, why don't you share with everybody just your testimony and why you wanted to be baptized today?
Well, when I was little, me and my mom would always read Bible stories out of that big, white Bible, the characters stuff. So I always believed that there was a God, but I never really put my faith in him until Easter of, 2005 Easter, we came to Alliance Church, and I saw Pastor Chris up here, and he was so goofy, he was so funny. I'm just like, hey, church is fun. And then I got into a Bible study, and I saw Pastor Rob, talking to you, and how cool you are. But I'm just like, hey, church is cool, I'll go to it, I'm probably being saved, but I wasn't. And then I saw Pastor Scott up here, and how energized. I don't want to make this sound like Academy Awards or anything. A lot of people think. Pastor Scott, he was so into the music, and he just inspired me just so much with his guitar that, I went home and played guitar. Instead of playing, rock stuff, I started playing worship. And it was like I could, hear Jesus' voice through the chords and feel him every time I was on the frets. And then a lot of people got friendly with me. Trevor, or Stan the Man, a.k.a. Dustin Smith, or Sabrina, people, who went to my school and just were so nice to me and just kept me going to Alliance. And finally, I went to start going to Roy's Bible studies and how much fellowship and just how much they love Jesus. And eventually, after a Friday night at Roy's, everyone was giving each other hugs, getting ready to go home after a delicious meal. And I was just in the van, just pray to God and ask him to forgive my sins and told him, I believe in you and I'm now going to put my faith in you. That was spring of 2006, so like a whole year. And then throughout 2006, every day, my faith grew stronger and stronger with him until it came to the day where I want to be baptized. I publicly want to show my my faith and my commitment that I'm accepting Jesus Christ in my life, because if baptism is good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Like Chris said, unless we're being nailed to a cross, we have no excuse.
All right.
The end.
Fantastic. Well, Andrew, Who is it that you have put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you share with everybody who you are?
I'm Dustin Carson.
Great. And Dustin, why don't you share a little bit about your testimony and why you want to be baptized today?
So I've basically been going to church almost all my life. When I was two, my parents split up. And so my mom would take me, my brother, and my two sisters every weekend. And so every Sunday we were going to church. And so I basically just grew up in that atmosphere. And then, high school came around and... around that time, my friend Kaylee Meza, he invited me to LBAC Youth Group. And so I was really, I was kind of getting involved in church activities and stuff. And I started to, God started to show me that, it wasn't, like I was doing it almost for just out of habit or tradition. And there was really no faith involved. And so I started to realize that, that's not going to fly. And that God, He demands, He was demanding my whole life. And so I don't know, the exact date or anything, but I know... my freshman year in high school, I gave my life to God, and just these last few years have just been there's been tremendous growth, and it's just been a real blessing just to see my own life and just the lives of those around me being changed. Right now I want to get baptized because God calls us to do it, and I just want to identify myself with with God and just announce to the church that I'm a follower. So.
Great, fantastic. Well, Dustin, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Excellent. Well, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All right, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
Hi, guys. My name is Sabrina Kerr.
Sabrina. And Sabrina, why don't you share a little bit of your testimony and why you want to be baptized today?
Well, I went to Bethany Baptist Church and School, and they take you to chapel every Friday, and they even make you pray the prayer that you're supposed to pray. And it didn't mean anything to me until fourth grade when, it really sunk in, and I was like, God, I know you're real. I know you're real. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. But even then, it didn't... I wasn't walking the way I'm supposed to, and it wasn't until 2005 when I was invited to this church by Jeff Welliber, and I fell in love with everyone here, and that's when it really sunk in, and I was like, okay, I need to walk with God, and I need to live the right life as a Christian, not, the ways of the world. I need to change, and this is me publicly showing that I have changed on the inside. And, I'm ready to live for God now. All for Jesus.
That's awesome. All right. Sabrina, who have you put your faith in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. That's excellent. Well, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All right, well, we're going to continue in our worship, and so I'm going to invite Pastor Scott on up to the stage.
Ho-ho, we are not done. Got some exciting testimonies. Carrie, go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody.
My name's Carrie McAdam.
And Carrie, why would you like to be baptized this morning?
I've grown up in this church and in a Christian family. I was saved when I was 5, and the Bible calls us to be baptized, or God does.
God calls us to be baptized. Carrie, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Carrie, because of that confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody.
Hello, I'm Mercedes Adams.
And Mercedes, tell us why you're here this morning.
Well, I'm here to sort of confirm my faith in front of the whole church, because it all started also when I was 5 and I asked Jesus into my life. And then I sort of went from there, just knowing I was a Christian, memorizing all the Bible verses and stories. But it wasn't until 7th grade that I realized that being a Christian was more of a relationship with God, and then there's something a little bit deeper than that. And my first realization of this was at a camp, of course, and you had the whole mountain high experience, the tears and stuff that I've never experienced before. And I know after that, I always try to get that feeling back, that intense, like, crying session. And I didn't feel that afterwards all the time. I couldn't work myself up. So I thought, well, maybe there's something more than just, like, this, like, feeling all of a sudden, like, you feel totally filled. There's something more than that. So as I went through high school, I experienced lots of spiritual battles, which was a very good thing, because this means I knew I was on the right track and that I was doing God's work, because Satan was definitely attacking me. And it kind of made me realize that I need to be looking at it a little bit differently and really try to apply what I've been learning all those years since I was 5 to my life and to my walk with the Lord. And I feel like leading up to today, I was also feeling battles just about the whole idea of baptism, whether it was for me or if it was something I absolutely had to do, since I was struggling with it. And I know that I learned all the Bible studies, I knew we had to, but there was definitely an apprehension about it. But I feel like the way I've been leading up to this, that it's not my idea, it's not my choice, but more of an internal thing. And God has designed for me to be here today, and He has set this up for me. So I need to follow Him and trust in Him, and I thank Him for allowing me to come here today to sort of as a response to what I've been dealing with and been going through. So thank you.
Wow. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of that confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Sorry.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. Go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody.
My name is Christian Corbo.
And Christian, tell us why you're here this morning.
I'm here this morning because God has chosen to have a relationship with me. About 11 months ago, we went to Hume Lake, and I really opened up my eyes to His presence and opened up my heart. And since that time, I'm a true believer. I want to respond to His gift, and I'm ready to give up my life for Him.
Amen. That's awesome, Christian. Who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of this confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, hello. Go ahead and tell everybody your name.
I'm Jennifer Corbo, his wife.
All right. And Jen, tell us why you're here this morning.
I am here today because I was also raised in a Christian house. And my dad would read us the Bible on Sunday nights, and we would go to church every Sunday. And they're very active in the church. And now, being a parent myself, I do the same thing. I follow my parents' footsteps. I take my daughter to church and have her in Awanas, and we read the Bible. And I've done Bible studies, but I've been missing something. And I didn't know what it was. And like my husband had said, we went to Lake Kim 11 months ago. And I realized what it was, that I had not given myself fully to the Lord. And at that moment in Lake Kim, I gave myself completely. And I feel His presence every day now in my life, and it's changed my life. So I'm here today to proclaim my trust and faith in the Lord for ever-changing life.
Amen. Who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of that confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and tell everybody your name.
Amanda Leva.
And Amanda, tell us why you're here this morning.
Well, I love Jesus, and I want everyone to know that. And I want to be baptized because I want to be baptized like Christ was baptized.
Fantastic. Amanda, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life? Because of this confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're right. Go ahead and tell everybody your name.
Missy Wilson.
And Missy, tell us why you want to be baptized this morning.
Well, I grew up believing in God, and we did all the Christian things, like go to church. But as I got older, I discovered there was a big difference between head and heart. I could know a lot about God, but not experience a relationship with Him. And God placed some wonderful friends in my life who shared their hearts and their love for Jesus with me. And through the faith and action that I got to see in their lives, I soon saw myself desiring that relationship that they shared with Jesus. And so Christ accepted me and as His child, and I began my life in Christ. And that was 8 years ago, and I'm amazed at how He's changed my heart and my life. And so I'm here today to profess my faith in Him and my desire to follow Him always.
Wonderful. Missy, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of this confession of faith, Missy, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, hello.
Hello.
Go ahead and tell everybody your name.
I'm Kate Voken.
And Kate, tell us why you'd like to be baptized this morning.
Well, God has been calling out to me my whole life. And for most of my life, I just made excuses just not to listen to Him and to turn away from Him. And I tell myself that, I'd go to church next Sunday, or, you know, this sin wasn't so bad, and this one's okay. And I was that person that was like, I believe in God, but not, you know, I'm not willing to give up that sin. And that was the truth. I just didn't want to give up that sin in my life. But several years ago, that sin led me into a lot of darkness and a really low point in my life. And this time God wouldn't take no for an answer. And He set me on a path to changing my life. And this time when He put people in my life, like my husband now, I've listened. And I started taking it more seriously. And it just amazes me how much He can change you. And if you're that person that just comes to church on Easter, He can change. He can change your desires, and He can change what. He can make your life, your schedule a little bit more open, and you have time. And the biggest thing is, I'm not a shy person, but I'm definitely not a bold person. I don't like to rock the boat. I like to be a people pleaser, and the Holy Spirit has given me a boldness, my cousin who's baptized earlier, like going and inviting her to church, and I invite some friends and family today. And that's really bold for me, and that's the Holy Spirit. So now when I look back at all of the years where I was looking at giving up that sin as a sacrifice, I'm amazed that I was so dumb for so long, because it's such an amazing blessing. And He's changed what I stand for, and that's why I'm standing here today, just as a testimony to what He can do to everybody. That's it.
That's awesome. Kate, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of this confession of faith, Kate, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I just want to encourage you. What you've witnessed this morning are stories of what Jesus Christ can do in lives. If you sit and you wonder, how could that be true? Or that could never happen to me. Or I've got this, that, or the other that is blocking me from responding to Jesus Christ. Sit back and observe no more. Become a participant in the kingdom of God. He is calling your name. He wants to change your life. He wants to have you die to the old and be raised to the new. This is the great message of baptism. And this is what is happening in our midst at Long Beach Alliance. Praise God. Yeah.